And we are going to do something a little different today to close out our Exposed series. We are going to split up guys and girls and do a question and answer panel. The purpose of this is to get in a time where we're just guys and we can answer questions that you guys might have. So there's a phone number right here. If you want to ask a question, you can text into that phone number and I will get it right here. I'm not tracking whose numbers is whose or anything like that. But it's an opportunity where if you've had any questions over the last 3 weeks, in this time of messages, or in small group, now is a great time to ask. And you are welcome to pull out your phone. We're going to leave this up the whole time. You're welcome to pull out your phone anytime, text a question, and I will get them. We've got about 30 minutes in here, and that's going to go by pretty fast. And so I can't promise we'll get to every question, but we will try. And this is a safe place. I'm not going to go, hey, who, raise your hand if you ask that question. We're just going to answer them honestly. And so the people that are going to answer these questions are these three gentlemen right here. So let me introduce those guys. Right here is Jake Likens. Jake is a sixth grade small group leader. Seventh grade, I'm so sorry. Seventh grade small group leader. And so a little bit about Jake. All these guys have different stories, right? So Jake, and he has only dated one girl his whole life. And it's the girl he married, Brittany, who's also a leader with us. Right next to him is Chad Corley, who's a good personal friend of mine and the husband to a sixth grade girl leader here in Wake as well. Her name's Emily. Chad and I have known each other for a long time, worked at camp together. Chad and I both share the story that pornography's been a part of our struggles, as we've dated girls besides our wives. Pornography also a small bit in Jake's story as well. And then Braxton Tucker is a sixth grade leader. Some of his boys are probably here right now. And Braxton is the guy who has had a struggle with pornography before. And also Braxton is a guy that is at this point in his life is still trying to follow God's plan for sex as a single guy. And so you've got guys that are single, you've got guys that are married, you've got guys that have dated various numbers of girls, you've got guys that have dated one girl. Pornography's been a big struggle for some, but not as big of a struggle for some. And so we've got a good mix of different backgrounds and stories here. And so with that being said, these guys have great perspective to add. And so I'm excited for them to hear from you. We're going to go ahead and get started. So first question that just came up says this. When should be the time to date? Nice, easy one there to start out with. What do you guys think?
I'll start. So for that, I would just say, first of all, whenever it's okay with your parents, like I would talk to your parents about it and just talk to them about what you should have in mind as far as a dating relationship. And then I would also say, just evaluate yourself and say, am I ready to commit to that? I think for me, like Sean said, I've only dated my wife, who I've been married to now for about a year. And for me, it was always just the thought of, am I ready to pursue a woman towards the end goal of marriage and to respect her in that way with that end goal in mind? And that doesn't mean, like, as soon as I met my wife, I was like, oh, this is the girl I'm going to marry. But it's like, are there qualities in her that I could see myself liking long term? And am I willing to put in the time and effort to respect her and love her that way?
Yeah, I would just add, so I would start with the definition of marriage, like what is marriage? And once you understand that, you can kind of work backwards. So in America, we have this idea of dating. It's not in the Bible, so it's kind of tricky. And so I would just, you know, get with your small group leader, your parents, whoever that is, define marriage. What do you provide for your wife and income, protection, all those kinds of things? And once you kind of have a list of generalities of what that is, then you can say, okay, great. Those are what I need to accomplish in marriage. Can I do that? As a sixth grader, as a 12th grader in college, at what point in life can I provide those things, for my wife?
That's great. Okay, well, let me ask this question then. So let's say at some point you are dating somebody. How do you go about setting like your physical standards? We got a lot of questions that have come through asking about like specific things like, hey, is kissing okay? Is this okay? What is this? If you asked, like, hey, what is something? And cause you're not sure, we're not going to necessarily talk about the different things that those are, but I would tell you if you texted that and asked that, your parents would be a great, I know that feels uncomfortable for me to say, and maybe for you to even think about asking your parents about, but I'm telling you, your parents would be great people to ask in that. And your small group leaders as well. Bring them in that conversation. They can have that conversation with you, with your parents as well. I know that is uncomfortable, but there's some things we're not going to necessarily like talk at length about up here just because it wouldn't be beneficial for everybody to hear that. But those might be legitimately good questions. And so you should definitely ask your parents those. But as far as like, hey, how do I go about setting physical standards when I'm dating somebody? Is kissing okay? Is holding hands okay? Is going farther than kissing? Is French kissing okay? Like, how do we set those kind of standards?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So I think a good rule of thumb, like you mentioned, obviously go ask your parents. Get their input. They have their best, your best interests at mind. Something that I've always, reminded myself is like, would I do this, if my parents were in the room with me? And you can even insert, hey, if Jesus was right here beside me, would I be treating this woman like that? Also something I heard was, you know, dating's not mentioned a lot in the Bible. So, how we view a woman would, in the Bible would be a sister in Christ, someone that's on the same mission as us, or our wife, and are we ready to lead them? And then the other thing I was going to say for boundaries would be something that still applies to me. Like you said, I'm single, pursuing purity, pursuing women as sisters in Christ until I'm ready for that dating relationship within marriage. But group hangouts, right? So if you're in a group setting, you're less likely to have those questions that hit on, you know, should we be kissing? Should we be holding hands? So I think two things would be hang out in groups as much as possible, get to know each other like on a group level. And then, you know, if Jesus is beside me or if my parents are in the same room as me, would I be wanting to hold this girl's hand or et cetera, fill in the blank. So
I think also one thing that Sean shared during this series that really spoke to me was just the thought that like, oh, if I've already slipped up in one way, like what's the point in like pulling back or like why shouldn't I take it to the next step? And just how he shared about how there is no like judgment or anything like that. If you've maybe slipped up in one way just through like sexual sin or anything like that, just know that there's no such thing as too far gone, and that there's always room to set those boundaries and to say, you know what, I'm going to start with a clean slate, because that's exactly what God's done with us. Like, we've all sinned and fallen short, and so there's always room to grow and improve.
So just to tie into that, Jake, you know, that's really important to understand, right? The, hey, this was one of the lies we said that the world tells us. If I've gone too far, then I'm too far gone and I'm past the grace of Christ. Let me ask you guys this question. If a friend of yours came to you and said, confessed to you that they had sex, that they went too far, now what would you say to them?
All right. What would I say to them? I mean, first just say, thank you for telling me. Like, people share things with you because they feel safe. And so just thank them, say, hey, thank you for being honest with me. Because that just furthers y'all's relationship. And then I would, depending on who that friend is, right? Whether they're Christian or not, can get a little dicey, but let's assume they're a Christian, maybe someone in Wake, with you. I would just open the Bible. What does scripture say? Make sure y'all understand each other. Hey, this is where I'm coming from. This is what God says about sex. Do you agree with that? How do you feel about that? And just talk through what that looks like from God's point of view. And then the next step would just be accountability. Okay, where do we go from here? let's take a let's just sit in the mud. I have a saying, like, if someone confesses something to you, I like a saying, just sit in the mud with them. It's dirty. It's not easy. It's hard. Let's just sit. And then let's walk towards grace. Let's walk towards kind of renewing, either the relationship that's going on, or just, you know, walking towards the next step of freedom. Because this whole series, I haven't heard all the messages, but God has our best interests in mind. So we want to walk towards what God is asking us to do.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's worth keeping in mind too, is that, hey, man, we have all, basically, if you are claiming to be a Christ follower, you have acknowledged, hey, my sin was so severe that Jesus had to die for it. And so, and anytime somebody shares something with you like that, and you want to approach it from a place of being gracious because of the grace that you've received in Christ. And you want to let the other person know about that. Just like Chad said, sit in the mud with them. They're probably not at a place where they're like, are ready to hear, like, hey, I'm like your judgmental stuff of, hey, this, what are you thinking? You should have done this and this and this. But man, first start with grace, and then from there work towards healing, work towards, man, how can we not let this happen again? We saw Jesus do that a lot, right? He didn't go, hey, clean yourself up and then come to me. He started with grace and healing. And then he said, hey, now let's talk about your life. What does this look like? If somebody, here's another question. Let's say you're in a relationship, maybe now or in the future, and the person that you're dating, they want to go farther physically. Whether that's a farther than maybe you're comfortable with, or even going, too far in the sense of, man, this is not what God, this does not follow God's plan. How do you handle that situation? How do you know whether it's appropriate to get out of that relationship, an unhealthy relationship? And then if so, man, how do you get out of that? So kind of two questions in one there.
Yeah, I'll start with this one. I would say, first of all, in as far as evaluating that relationship, I think one thing that Sean shared, I think it was the second week during this series, was just talking back about 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love and the attributes of love and how it's patient and kind, doesn't boast, but also how nowhere in there does it say anything about love being about yourself or selfish. And so I would just evaluate, okay, does this person that I'm in this relationship with have my best interests? If you've shared with them kind of what your boundaries are, just really evaluate, are they looking after your best interest, or maybe do they have their own goals or their own desires at mind? And don't be afraid to talk to them, or even if you go to community first about it, and just really evaluate, how do I go about talking to this person if this is how I feel as far as they make me feel uncomfortable or like I'm pushing the boundaries. Don't be afraid to bring that up, because if it's somebody that truly loves you and cares for you, I really think they'll want to do what's best for you.
I'd say run far away. but in seriousness, it's when I think back to my past relationships, if my girlfriend would have said, hey, you know, we did this, I'm out, I'm done. You know, I'd have been frustrated, sad, all the emotions, but that would have been so healthy for both of us. I mean, there's so many scripture references, where Jesus mentions, or the Bible just mentions, like how serious sexual sin is, and so it's just not something to mess around with. It's not something to be like, okay, try again, and just this big game of like, oh, we messed up, try, you know, it's just not worth it. That person's not going anywhere. They're not falling off the face of the earth. I'm not saying it's over forever, but there's so much good in taking a break, or going into scripture. Okay, what does it say? Okay, don't do this. If I am continuing to do that with somebody, then we have to go our separate ways.
Yeah, and I hear so much of my own story in that, Chad. And I've shared this in the messages for this series, but like a lot of my 20s was me dating girls. And then because I wanted to be so connected with them, because my identity was in who I was dating, I would go too far emotionally and then eventually too far physically. And I wish that girls that I had gone too far physically with would have said, hey, I'm out. We went too far. We got to cut this off. I would have been really embarrassed at that. And I would have been probably hurt and frustrated and been like, well, man, it's a two-way street. Like, I would have had all these excuses. But now I would tell you, I'm 32. And I would go, man, I wish that some of those girls would have cut that off. Because that would have saved a lot of scars, a lot of heartache. Man, a lot of scars that have carried even into my marriage. Emily and I have been married for 2 years today, actually. And so, man, but some of those ways that I've gone too far, man, those scars have carried into our marriage and affected that. And so all that, we share that to go, hey, if you're in a relationship where somebody's pushing you to go too far, man, get out. And you can be kind in the way that you get out. You don't have to just like slap them with like the Bible, you know, and be judgmental, but you can be kind in the way you get out, but get out. Cause long term, man, it's better. It's not worth sticking around in that. And then just to address a couple questions that have been asked, like, hey, is blank okay? Is this going too far? Is this not going too far? There was a message 2 weeks ago where we taught on this for about a solid 5 to 10 minutes about like, hey, one of the lies culture tells us is that sex is limited to going all the way. And so I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message, and specifically that part to help answer some of those specific questions. A question I want to answer, I'm just going to answer this one myself because it says, how would you handle if somebody else initiated an inappropriate situation? And so we just talked about being in a relationship and somebody wanted to go too far, but I'm just going to assume this one means, hey, I'm not in a relationship with somebody. Maybe they asked me, over a text or like to, you know, to send pictures or try to engage me in this inappropriate conversation. Maybe it's just an actual conversation with people. Maybe it's an uncomfortable situation with somebody else. And I want to say the first thing is to just remove yourself from that situation as best as you can. If that's a text, don't respond. Delete the text. If that's a in-person situation, man, remove yourself from that. If it's a conversation, leave. If it's somebody else is making you feel uncomfortable, man, leave, go hang out with other people. Leave that place, get in public. And then also to say, tell somebody. Anytime that happens, please, please tell somebody. Even if it's a friend who texted you or like a girl you know at school or a guy you know at school that texted you and tried to initiate some kind of inappropriate stuff, tell your small group leaders, tell one of us, tell your parents. I cannot stress that enough. And I even want to say this. If there is anybody that ever makes you feel uncomfortable or you feel like is even in the slightest way pressuring you to do anything or to like go too far, even in what you think about, look at, talk about, man, you gotta tell somebody. I don't care if it's one of us on staff. I don't care if it's your small group leader, a small group leader that is making you feel uncomfortable. You need to tell somebody. Preferably your parents and preferably, another leader, another person on staff. Please, please tell somebody. We live in a culture where there are people that will try to target you, man, for their own desires, and for their own, their believing lies. And so please tell somebody. I don't know how to be more clear than to say, if your small group leader is making you feel uncomfortable, if a small group leader is making you feel uncomfortable, please tell somebody. All right. I want to shift to a struggle with pornography and lust. One of the questions was, hey, what is lust? And so just a real quick definition of lust. Lust is looking at, or thinking about somebody, in a way that is sexual, right? So like it goes from, hey, that, like, there are objectively attractive people out there, but lust goes, hey, I'm going to take the fact that they're attractive and I'm just going to continue to roll that over my, man, they are so pretty, man, they look so good. And just continuing to let that roll around in your mind or like when you're looking at somebody, man, taking that in and just looking them up and down and just imagining them, you know, in a sexual way, that's what lust is. And Jesus said, hey, if you even look at someone lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so, man, lust is a sin. Now, you know, if you happen to see something and bounce your eyes away, or if the temptation comes, temptation is not a sin, but acting upon it is. And so I want to talk about kind of that struggle, that fight with pornography and acting upon it. And so, one, how have you guys, fought well against the temptation of pornography in your lives?
Yeah, I'll start with that one. So, for me, yeah, that's a part of my story. Struggling with pornography, struggling with, you know, what's going on behind closed doors. You know, I could at school have the face of, hey, I'm a believer. Hey, I'm going to treat others well. I'm going to be an athlete. I'm going to be, you know, the cool kid or whatever. But behind closed doors, I'm, you know, looking at inappropriate things, filling my mind with things that are not pure. And, so for me, a couple of things that I did was I had to remove, whether that's access to a phone, access to, specific internet sites, access to, you know, whatever that is. So those would be like triggers, right? So whatever is triggering you to think lustfully, we have to be, as believers, we're called to a standard of removing those. And also probably first and foremost, confessing that, not only to God, but into your small group. So for me, I meet weekly with a community group, which is similar to what you guys are doing weekly. And maybe it's not even for you guys. Like, we want you to be able to share that openly. But if it's just telling your leader or telling, well, obviously, we want you to come tell us first, obviously. But even at our level, we're sharing that with our whole community group. And so we're being open, honest. And it wasn't until I was able to be open and honest about the struggle with lust, struggle with pornography, that Jesus was able to, take that sin away from my life and allow me to experience freedom, from those things that were, kind of chaining me to, you know, behind closed doors, I can act a certain way and nobody else will ever know about it. And so I would say confess and, forget my first point, but yeah, so confession, sharing that, being bringing light into that situation.
All right. Yeah, I'll also touch on that one. As Sean said, that's a part of all of our stories. For me specifically, that was part of my story when I was at my loneliest. Like, for me, I just moved to a new school, had like no friends, and that is something that I turned to in that time. And it wasn't until I found community and guys that I could count on and share that with, and I knew they would have my back and hold me accountable, that I was able to fight that and overcome that alongside them. And so right now you guys have such a great opportunity at your age, already having a group of guys that you meet with every single week that have your back. You have leaders who are on your side and are there to help you. Because a lot of them may have had those same struggles. And so I would say, you guys seriously have the best opportunity, to be able to combat, whether it's pornography or lust or anything like that. It's truly a gift, because for me, I didn't have that, until like high school, college. So,
confess your sins and you'll be healed, right? So we start there. And then practically speaking for me, I think it's running to something, which is Jesus, right? So if you block access, and then you have to, like, you have to run to something, period. And it's either going to be back to where you came from, or it's going to be to Jesus. And so you've got to fill your mind, read scripture, meet in small group, do the things that help stir, your mind towards the Lord. And so there's a ton of good technology out there. Covenant Eyes, I personally use. Talk to your small group leaders. I'm sure they know. You guys are smarter than me on my iPhone, probably. And so you guys know how to get around stuff, but there are good apps out there. I use Covenant Eyes personally, which blocks my whole phone. And so those are the two things: running towards the Lord, and then making sure your technology is bulletproof.
Yeah. And then the last thing I would add about these three guys too, is that, like, And I know each of these guys personally, and I can tell you, they don't trust themselves very much. Like, you know, Chad has coveted eyes on his phone, not just because he thinks it's cool to have coveted eyes. And it's probably an inconvenience at times. In fact,
it's
I know
not cool.
It is not cool. But here's the thing. Chad doesn't trust himself because he knows where he's been. He knows his heart, and he knows that, hey, man, if I just let that temptation come before me over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, man, it's going to be hard to fight that and flee from that every time. So I'm going to just make it a little bit easier because I don't trust myself. And all these guys feel that way. And I would tell you, the godliest people probably that you know and the people that with the least amount of scars are the ones that trust themselves the least. And so don't be prideful. Don't think I can handle this. I can do this. Another thing is I'm getting a lot of questions about, hey, how do I help a friend that has an addiction to pornography? Whether that's they've come out and told me that, whether I think they do, but they haven't shared that. Man, how do I help a friend fight their addiction to pornography?
Asking for a friend. It's kind of what we touched on, right? If you don't know the answer specifically, so let's say in this case, you're like, hey, I never looked at it. I don't know what to do. I don't even know. I'd say widen the circle just a little bit, okay? Bring in small group leader. I promise you they will help you. Help you either bring that friend in, or if that friend's too scared, equip you, give you the tools necessary to go back to that friend and help them out.
Cool. Okay. Hey, I want to end. We've got about 5 minutes left. And so here's where I want to end is I want to talk about just this. I've got a few questions along the lines of, they're kind of several questions. I'm going to kind of wrap into one. Questions like, hey, is it a sin to date in middle school or high school? Or can I be friends with a girl and not date her? The answer to that question is no, it's not a sin. And yes, you can be friends. You can be friends with a girl and not date them. You're going to want to be obviously careful in the way that you do that. Like, don't lead a girl on. Don't, like, needlessly flirt with girls when you know you just see them as a friend and you want their attention. That would not be being a friend. That would be you're trying to use girls' emotions to fulfill your own desire to be liked and to be accepted. But you can absolutely be friends with girls. Again, it's not a sin to date in middle school or high school, but last week, man, we did talk about, man, if you are jumping into a deep emotional relationship that only gets deeper over time, you are taking on a lot of temptation, and I would say probably more than you can handle as a junior high student. I couldn't handle that temptation in my 20s. Now, I'm not saying you have to wait till you're 30 like me to get married, but what I'm saying is, like, man, you guys can be godly young men right now and pursue Christ and lean on your small group and your small group leaders and your parents to help you process when can I date. And you guys can lean on them to help you decide when that is. Another question I got that I thought was a good one based on, like I told you, from me and Chad's stories, is that can I date more than one girl? Not at the same time. They made sure to say that in the question. Would not be good to date more than one girl at the same time. That would not be honoring anybody. You probably wouldn't like that if a girl was doing that with you. But can you date more than, like, can I date more than one girl in my life? Well, okay, so know that dating has not always been a part of culture. It's probably only been a part for the last 50 to 100 years or so. You can go read in scripture where basically people were assigned wives or assigned husbands. So dating is this thing that's like, it's relatively new to culture, but the idea is that, hey, am I compatible with this person? And so by that very definition, you might date more than one person. But here's the guideline that you want to live by as you date girls. You want to leave them better than you found them. And truly, if you can do that, everything's going to be okay. If you want to leave girls better than you found them. Obviously, when you date, there's going to be emotions that get tied together. But, man, you want to leave them better than you found them emotionally, spiritually, physically. Going too far physically or sexually is not leaving them better than you found them. Toying them toying with them, stringing them along, playing with their hearts, just because you like the idea of dating somebody or want to be liked, that's not leaving them better than you found them. Encouraging them, right? Being a godly man, that's leaving them better than you found them. And so even the question of, hey, I want to ask all you guys, one of the questions was how far is too far in showing appreciation of a girl or showing a girl that I like her. How can I leave them better than I found them? Somebody asked, hey, how can I honor a girl if I'm dating her? How would you guys answer that? How can I honor girls that I'm dating?
I mean, you answered the question, spiritually, physically, emotionally. One thing that I didn't do well is the emotional part. I heard it all the time, like, what does being healthy emotionally even mean? Like, I don't know what that is. And so, again, point to your small group leaders, but it's when you, you know, practically for me is like waking up and like thinking about that girl, going to sleep, waking, it's constantly in high school. I just wasn't helpful. And so, like Sean said, we're kind of attaching ourselves emotionally there in our minds. But yeah, I mean, Sean said it, leaving girl better than you found her is the way to go.
Yeah. Man, any last comments by you guys as we wrap up? Anything you want to leave them with?
I'd say in Matthew it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've given you life. It's something like that. And so it's just a reminder, small group leaders, I challenge you guys, like, just point them to Jesus. Like, we have to paint the picture that, like, Jesus is better, the gospel is better, this life is better, and not, you know, with the stick constantly, like, don't do this, don't do that. Because my upbringing, that's where it was like, this is all bad, this is all bad, this is all bad. And I get my 20s, and I kind of fumble the ball. And so I just say, there's life in Christ. Let's help each other, point each other there, and help each other understand that that's what we're trying to do. And we're not trying to beat you up with, hey, don't do this, and don't do that.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that, I can look back at my own relationship with my wife and see, like, the times where she or I had our own personal interests at mind in our relationship, or, like, were relying on ourselves too much. That's where we had the hardest time. But whenever both of us had our eyes set on God and pursuing Him first, and Him being the goal, that's when I saw our relationship thrive and where we truly grew closest. And so I would say just continue to point back towards Jesus and the perfect picture that He left for us and how marriage should look, and just continue to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and just to kind of wrap this up, on my end would be, hey, this whole series has been, hey, what is God's design for marriage, for sex, for relationships with opposite sex, right? And so just remember that He is good, that He has a plan for you, He has a plan for your dating, He has a plan for, the rest of your life, for whoever that person may be. And I think Chad kind of summed this up well as well, but just to reiterate, like, a lot of times, like, part of my story is I was trying to look for satisfaction in a significant other, a girl that gave me attention, that that we could be called, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend. But ultimately, I was trying to fill a hole in my heart, and Jesus is the only one that can ultimately complete me, ultimately give me satisfaction, right? And so just be reminded that, you know, God's design for marriage is better than my intentions to date a girl. And so that's really all I would end with. So
cool. Hey, and then I just want to wrap up just by sharing, man, from what I learned from each of these three guys is this. Man, I've learned, and I wish my story was like Jake's, where, man, I only dated one girl and it was my wife. And but man, it's not. And so Jake doesn't have a ton of scars, and Jake can sit here and go, hey, man, following God's plan for sex is best, and it's good, and he's not out to rip you off, and he's after your joy. But I can rejoice, man, Chad and I have some similar stories, and we can go, man, but we have seen God's grace play out in our lives, and it's big enough to cover in anything that we've done. And then also, man, Braxton Tucker, if he never gets married, and he and remains faithful, walks faithfully with the Lord, and never has sex, he is not any more incomplete. I'm sorry, he's not any less complete than us three are right here. And we can look at a godly guy like Braxton and go, man, look, sex is good. God created it to be good, but it is not the end all be all. And so again, I want to end with something that we've said many times throughout this past month is that, look, if you grow up and you never have sex, but have walked with Jesus, man, that is not a silver lining. It's not a bonus. It's not the icing on the cake. That is the goal. And your life will be full of such joy, and you'll know him deeply, and you'll cherish him, and you'll love him, and you won't have any hard time recognizing when he speaks to you through his word and through his people and through his spirit, and your life will be so sweet and so good and no less sweet than anybody else. Keep sending in questions. We're going to start with, gotten a couple of these that are just asking, hey, how do I know when I can date? How do I know when I can date? How would you guys answer that?
Yeah, I can start on that one. So for me specifically, it was always thinking of, okay, what's the end goal? And for me, like, the end goal of dating was always marriage, and that's something we've talked about as we've gone through this series. And so for me, I always thought, okay, am I ready to lead a girl or a woman in a relationship and ready to just provide her the care and attention that demands? And so for me, like, one part of my story is I didn't date anyone until I got into college, and turned out that the girl that I did date ended up being my wife. And so for me, it's a cool part of my story because I've only dated one person, but I also consider it a blessing that I didn't have a lot of scars from past relationships or things like that, and God really protected me in that way. And it's honestly just such a huge blessing that both my wife and I were that way, where we are the only people we've been in a relationship with. And so I consider that a huge blessing.
Since dating's not in the Bible, we go one step further to marriage, right? So, like, what does marriage mean? What's the definition of it? And what, as men, what are we responsible for? And so one of those things you can look at is, like, providing for your wife, like, whether that's income or shelter or something like that. So it's like, hey, if I'm in sixth grade, can I provide an income and all that stuff, right? Which is kind of silly to think about. But as you go into high school and college and you start pondering these things more seriously, that's one of the ways I said, okay, am I ready to be married? Can I fulfill what God wants me to do as a man?
Great. So somebody asked a follow-up question to that. Like, are you allowed to date if you really aren't ready to lead a family, like, at your age? Should you guys be dating at your age? How would you just – so let me just go ahead and say, and there's one, dating is not found in the Bible because dating has not been a part of our culture for that long of a time. It's been around for about 50 to 100 years. You can read the Bible and see times where, like, people were given husbands or given wives, or it was chosen maybe by their parents, or other people close to them. That's kind of the way it normally had been done. And so now you can see, like, courtship was a big deal, and now dating is now kind of a part of it. So there's nothing in the Bible that goes, hey, dating is wrong. I think when people say dating, so when we say dating, here's what we're saying, man, spending time specifically with, a girl to decide, hey, do I want to commit to that person in marriage? That's what we're saying when we're talking about dating. That is the purpose of dating, right? To find out, hey, is this a person I'd want to join up with and go, hey, I want to be married to you for the rest of my life. So are you allowed to date if you aren't ready to lead a family? What do you think?
I would definitely say obviously you can, but, like, y'all probably play sports in here, right? And if you want to be the best at basketball, soccer, whatever, you're going to work out, right? You're going to get some practice in. You're going to do those things to help you be the best. And so it's similar, to help you guys understand, like, if you want to date, it's like, hey, what's the goal? It's marriage, right? Okay. In eighth grade, my goal is marriage. I'm going to start dating, right? It just doesn't make sense. And so, yes, like Sean said, you can, like, it's not in the Bible, right? But But again, you start with a goal and then you work backwards. So if you want to be the best player, you're going to work out, you're going to do those things. And so that's just to help you imagine why we kind of come from the stance of like, hey, it's not a great idea to date in middle school.
Yeah. That's good. You know, like someone else asked, do you have to be mature to date? I would say you definitely have to be mature to date. Think about what's happening when you're dating a girl. Is you are caring for her in a unique way that you're not with anybody else at that time. And so here's the thing, guys. Whenever we're dating somebody, you think, man, how do I do that? Can I date more than one person? Obviously not at the same time, but in my life, like, do I have to, so Jake married the one girl he ever dated. And I would tell you that has not been true for me. I dated several girls before I married Emily. Most of them I did not date well. Chad dated several girls before he married his wife, Emily. So that's right.
Two Emily's.
That's true. Chad, how would you, man, if someone said, man, can I date more than one person in my life? Or is it bad to date more than one person in my life?
Can you date more than one person? Yes. Is it bad? No. However, Sean and I have similar stories, right? If you don't leave women better than you found them, then it becomes very detrimental. And we would both probably agree, like, hey, if we dated one girl and that was our wife, that would be amazing. We wouldn't have scars. We wouldn't have things that come up in I'm 27, right? Decisions when I was 18 and even earlier affect the way I treat my wife at 27. Okay, that's 10 years. It blows my mind, right, that that's what happened. But that's the reality. And so, yes, you can date more than one woman. That's fine. But you just need to find godly men that have done it really well.
Yeah, true. And then also, man, get people around you. Like, get people. We talked about this last week in the message was, hey, get people around you that have the same mindset, that are chasing the same thing you are, to help you decide when you're ready to date. I know this is going to sound crazy, but your parents are good people to talk to. Your small group leaders are good people to ask. Your fellow people in your small group, if you're in one, those are great people to ask. And so reach out to them as well. You know, I'm getting several questions that's like, man, can you have a girlfriend? Can you have a serious girlfriend at this age? And we said this last week, but here's what I'll say again. If you are in a serious relationship in middle school, I would tell you, you are probably taking on too much temptation than you can handle at your age. And I say that because I wasn't able to handle that temptation when I was 22 or 23 or 24, and you guys are 12, 13, and 14. And I'm not saying you have to wait till you're 25 to date, but what I am saying is, the reality is, almost nobody in this room is going to meet their wife in middle school. And then honestly, man, you don't want to, man, it's just a lot of temptation to take on an emotional relationship. Because the closer you get with somebody, man, the more you want to connect emotionally and then also physically. Remember, God wired us that way, to want to connect physically. And that's going to be really hard because you're probably not going to get married for like at least 8 years, I'm imagining, maybe more. And so that's a long time to go and just holding off and holding off and holding off connecting physically with another girl. So I would say, look, if you're in a relationship right now, I'm not saying it's bad to have crushes. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying all that. But what I am saying is, like, man, be wise about it. I would say almost no junior high guys that I've ever known are like ready to be in a relationship. And I don't say that to say like you guys stink. But I say that to go, guys, it's just tough. And I would say it's not worth it at this point. I lead a group of ninth graders. What I tell them all the time is play the long game. The chances are you might do something dumb or something stupid at this age. And a lot of those girls that you like now, you're probably still going to like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years from now when you're later down the road in high school, older, like juniors, seniors, you're going to want to date them. Don't do something dumb now that's going to make them not want to date you then. Like, that's just like practical advice I would give you. But yeah, in general, and as a junior high guy, you're just probably not ready to date. So let's go to this question, because this is one that I've gotten is, hey, whenever we do date, whenever these guys do date, how do they decide what physical standards to set? Like, how do they know, hey, I'm not going to kiss this girl, I'm not going to French kiss this girl, we're not going to hold hands? How do they know what physical standards to set, and how can they determine those?
Yeah, so I'll take that one. So for me, growing up, I was always told, hey, ask your parents what my standards should be in dating. You know, am I allowed to kiss a girl? Am I allowed to technically be dating? So I would say start with your parents. They're older, they're wiser. They've been through the stage of life, right? They've probably had multiple dating experiences that you can learn from them. And then the next thing would be, you know, would I, if my parents were, say I'm with a girl that I have a crush on and my parents are in the room, what, I'm less likely to do stuff with this girl if my parents are right there, right? And so I would say if you wouldn't do something with your parents in the room, you most likely shouldn't do it even when they're not in the room, right? And you can even look at that as, you know, God sees everything. If his son Jesus was in the room with you, how would I be reacting or acting towards this girl? And then lastly, I think, you know, like all of our stories are similar in the fact that, hey, like it's hard to trust ourselves. You know, our hearts are, our flesh is failing. Our hearts desire things that are apart from God, right? And so one of those things in place is, hey, hang out in a group setting, hang out with not just one-on-one alone time with the opposite sex, right? And that will help, you know, decrease some of those opportunities to fall into those situations.
Yeah, hanging out in a group is huge. I mean, the more you can do that, the better. It's a safe place. You can still spend time with somebody. I mean, that will help you a ton in high school, in college, and beyond. Whenever you do start dating, let me throw you a very specific question that I've gotten a few times is. Man, how do I know when to start, like, specifically hugging and kissing? That's the question I've gotten about five times. Man, should I kiss a girl that I'm dating if we're not married? Should I hug a girl? And how do I know if I should or should not?
So I think thinking back to, like, the first week of this series, Sean included in his message from Matthew, just where it talks about even thinking lustfully about a person of the opposite gender, or about anyone, is considered sin. And so if it's something that is going to cause you, like your body, like Sean had talked about, like how you have a physical reaction, out of some of those actions, if it's something that's going to cause you to stumble in that way, I'd say it's probably best to hold off. And that doesn't mean that you can't hug or can't kiss or anything like that. But I would say definitely know when that line is and, like, do your best to set your boundary well ahead of that. Because the closer and closer you get to that line, the easier it's going to be to talk yourself into going past it. And like Braxton said, like, it's so hard to trust yourself. And so it's best to have other people who can hold you accountable to those boundaries, including the person you're in a relationship with. So also I would say talk to them about it, the person you're in a relationship with, and set those boundaries for yourselves so that way you can both have your best interest in mind.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, a lot of the advertisement, the movies, the Instagram videos, all this stuff, it points to what the world would say is okay, right? And so a lot of times we're being fed, hey, it's okay to kiss. It's okay to, you know, do all X, Y, and Z with a girl or someone of the opposite sex. And I would say, as a believer, we have to know our standard. We have to be held to a higher standard. And I think these guys up here can attest that God calls us to purity. And so for me, that's going above and beyond. You know, if holding hands leads to kissing, which leads to something more, like, hey, let's not wait till we struggle with the last part. Let's kill it where, you know, it's continuing to want to manifest. It's continuing to grow. And so I know, just like we continue to say, like, hey, like, this is something that we all struggle with. And, for myself, just holding hands wanted me to hold hands longer, which wanted to, you know, it, literally just a cycle. And so it's knowing yourself, and that I think the first step is admitting that, like, hey, I don't know if I'm ready for the physicalness, and then with that brings on emotional stuff, and that's a whole nother story, but yeah.
So, hey, here's the other thing I would say, guys, is, I don't know of anybody that when they got married said, man, I wished I had kissed more people. I wish I kissed more girls. I've never met anybody that's ever said that. I've met a lot of people that said, man, I wish I would have kissed less. I wish I would have kissed less girls. I think that's good to have in mind. And look, here's the thing. You guys are in junior high, and I know, like, it's hard to have a view of the future because, like, all that you, like, are put with is what's in front of you right now, which is, like, the present time in junior high. But here's the thing, man, is, like, it is, I'm just encouraging you guys, always keep, like, the future in mind as much as possible. I kissed Emily before we were married, just all cards on the table. Other girls that I dated, I kissed. And, man, honestly, I wish I hadn't, or I wish I would have at least waited. Because once I started kissing a girl that I was dating personally, it was a big temptation to keep going further and further and further. And it happens so much quicker than you think it will. So much quicker. And so look, man, I'm telling you, I would say, I don't think anybody in this room in junior high, should be kissing anybody right now. Like, I really don't. Because it's just too much temptation to take on. If you are dating a girl, even though we all probably said you're not ready really to be dating anybody. And if you're like kissing somebody, I'm telling you, it's too hard. I would say nobody in this room should be kissing anybody. And as far as like specifically when that should happen, again, bring that to your parents, bring that to your small group, your small group leaders. That would be helpful to you. Okay, let me ask you guys this question. So what if the person that you're dating, what if the person that you like, doesn't have the same standards you do, and they want to keep pushing you to go farther?
Run away as fast as you can. It's just not worth it. Sean alluded to this. I've dated other girls besides my wife. Push physical boundaries, and it's just not worth it. Like, ask any of us that have been through it. You can stop, separate, see if it's worth figuring out, but the scripture, tells us to be equally yoked. And so what that means is just like, hey, does the person across the table from me have the same standards and values? Are they a Christian? That's what it's really asking, right? And so when you dig into specifically the dating part of it, it's, hey, are we equally yoked? Do we have the same values, the same standards of pursuing purity before we get married?
Yeah, and then also, like, thinking back to the lies about sex that society tells us, like Sean talked about, there's the lie out there that, like, I'm trying to remember the exact words, but...
like going too far?
Yeah, like, sorry, I'm totally blanking here. But,
like, sex is limited to going all the way?
No.
Or if you've gone too far?
Let's see. What was the question again?
Asking about, like, hey, if somebody doesn't have the same standards as you.
Okay, yeah. So, like, going back to, like, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how Sean talked about, it talks about the attributes of love, and, like, love is patient and kind. And everything else that it says, nowhere in there does it refer to love being selfish. And so I would ask, like, does that person that you're in a relationship with have your best intentions in mind? And, like, them pushing you to go further, is that helping you, or is that maybe serving their own purpose? And I know that's a really hard conversation to have with somebody else, but I would talk to community and talk to small group leaders, your parents, about how you can approach that. And just like Chad said, like, run.
So, like, you know, even a couple of people I've asked, like, hey, what if the other person just goes right to the physical stuff? Or what happens if a girl kisses you and you're like, man, I'm not ready for that stuff. Here's what I would say is that, whenever I dated girls and I went too far with them, what didn't happen was that the girls ended it right there. But I wished they would have. I would have been really embarrassed and I would have been hurt and frustrated and I would have had all these excuses. But years later, I would have been really glad they did it. Like the moment we went too far, because man, it just kept going farther and farther and farther. And so, man, I'm telling you, if you are ever, you shouldn't ever jump into a relationship with somebody who doesn't have the same standards as you guys. Two is, man, if you find yourself in a relationship and you find out someone doesn't have the same standards or they're continuing to push you to go too far, then just get out. Get out of the relationship, do it in a kind way, but it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Okay. Let me also jump to this question. We just talked about, like, hey, if I'm in a relationship with somebody, but what if somebody initiates kind of sexual things that make me feel uncomfortable? So that could be like somebody over text is asking you to send pictures or have a conversation that you know is inappropriate. Maybe you're around people in person and that conversation is inappropriate. And let me just tell you, first of all, man, remove yourself from that situation as much as possible. Delete that text. Leave that conversation. Go somewhere else. And then I just want to say this right off the bat. I want to say this. Hey, if someone is ever, making you feel uncomfortable sexually or like, just like pushing you to do things or watch things or talk about things that you are uncomfortable with, one, obviously remove yourself from the situation, but two, and always tell somebody. Always tell somebody. And we live in a culture, boys in the front, I need you to listen. We live in a culture where, man, people will target young people in order to take advantage of them, in order to hurt them, to fulfill their own desires. And here's the deal. If somebody ever makes you feel uncomfortable in anything they're trying to get you to do, please tell somebody. I don't care if it's your small group leader, another small group leader, somebody on staff here, or a friend or a family member. If somebody ever makes you feel uncomfortable, you need to tell somebody. You need to tell an adult. So I just want to say that right now. Always tell an adult. Okay, I want to pivot and talk about struggles with lust and pornography, because I've gotten a lot of questions about those. Just a quick, how would one of you guys define what lust is? As we say lust, what is lust?
I would say, so in this specific context, it's looking at a woman, a girl, with the intention for selfish gain. So it's kind of broad. So anything in your mind, so it can be cars, money, abilities, right? But what we're talking about today, is the opposite sex, a female. Okay. So coveting that, wanting that, for your own selfish gain, is how I would define it.
Great. So, man, how would you guys, just a couple of you guys talk real quick about maybe how pornography and lust and acting upon lust has played out in your own stories, in your own lives, and how you personally have fought well against it.
So eighth grade, I stumbled on it. Back when I was in eighth grade, we had one computer in the house. I'd get on it when my parents weren't home and just mess around on there and kind of ran into it. So that's when I got introduced to it because I didn't have this, which is awesome, where someone was talking to me about it. Kind of sprung back up in college days, but victories are two things that come to mind, are running, or confessing, and then running to something else, right? So our minds are constantly going to be filled with something, and so you guys have gadgets everywhere, right? I have one in my pocket. A lot of you guys have cell phones, right? It's right in our pocket, and so we confess, and then we run and fill our minds with something else. So that'd be God, scripture, prayer, small groups, all those things. And then just get technology around it. that can block it out. I have covenant eyes. I mean, I'm 27, been married for 3 years, and I have covenant eyes on my phone that alerts friends of mine if I look at something I shouldn't, okay? So it doesn't stop at marriage. It doesn't just magically go away. I know that I can sin really easily. And so I admit that I'm weak in that area, and so I put technology around myself to guard my eyes.
Yeah, I'll go on that one as well. So I know for me personally, like whenever that stepped into my life was at a point where I was at my loneliest. So for me specifically, I just moved to a new school, had like no friends, and was kind of just a loner. I stuck to myself, and it was in my loneliness where I just kind of got trapped in my own thoughts and fell into that sin. And so for me, the time where I was able to truly conquer that and overcome it was when I surrounded myself with other people who could hold me accountable and who were looking out for me as well as me looking out for them. So I think you guys have a great opportunity right now with your small groups. You have guys that you meet with every week who can hold you accountable. You have leaders who have your back no matter what the situation is. And that's something that I definitely wish I had at your age, because when you're alone, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, I would just say this is a struggle for every man, right? And so I think, like Chad said, confessing that first to God and then to your small group, to your small group leader, because the fact is there's people to your left and right that are dealing with the same temptation, the same struggle. They're being fed the same billboards, advertisements, same movies that are displaying, hey, this is how you should view love or marriage or sex before marriage, anything like that. And so I think just realizing you're not alone in this, and honestly, that's when I found freedom, freedom from sin, which is part of my story and how Jesus was able to free me from pornography and lust. And now it's a constant check-in with my community group saying, hey, like, these are areas where I'm triggered with lust and lustful thoughts. And so being held accountable, and for me, it's a weekly basis and sometimes periodically throughout the week. And so just the idea that I know I can't trust myself and letting others in has really given me freedom. And so that's what I would encourage you guys with.
Yeah, describe, one of you guys describe real quick, like when you've stumbled into that or, man, have watched pornography or acted upon, or even just in your lustful thoughts acted upon it. What did that time of confession look like?
It's just strong conviction and then grabbing a best friend from a small group and saying, hey, look, this is what I did. And it's a high level of trust. It's just a really good, I mean, it tells us in scripture, confess your sins and you'll be healed. And there's power in that. It might, if you've never done it before, it might sound weird and like, I don't want to say that, but trust me, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, like you will feel a difference when you, after you confess your sins.
Yeah. Go ahead. You want to say something?
Yeah. I was also going to say, if you're on the receiving end and somebody is coming to you confessing, I would just first greet them with grace and love, because I mean, we've all sinned and fallen short in some way or another, and so none of us is perfect. So whether it's lust or pornography, or it could even be something like pride or selfishness, just treat others with grace and love, because that's how you would want to be treated if you were approaching somebody about something like that.
Yeah, somebody asked, hey, when is sex not okay? And I would say, hey, go listen to that first message from Exposed, because sex is not okay whenever it doesn't fall into God's purpose. And we talked about five of God's purposes. Sex is meant for marriage. Sex is meant for man and woman. Sex is meant for mutual intimacy and enjoyment. Sex is meant for multiplication. And sex is meant as a model of us in Christ. And so just to define pornography, that is just videos or images or words or anything that would stimulate you sexually, that you take in for that purpose to stimulate you sexually. And here's the deal, guys. In no context is pornography okay. It's never okay in any context because it doesn't fit in with God's purposes, right? You're not married to that person that you're watching. You're using that person for your own sexual desires. It's not mutual. It's not building intimacy between you and that person. And it is a cheap version of the good gift that God gave us in sex. And so pornography is never okay. It's a part of my story. I had struggles with it in college in my early 20s. And it really got me for a long time. And man, if you would remember what these guys said, that would help you in how you fight it. Because it's not, guys, it's not worth it. It'll rob you of joy just in life in general. And it'll also rob you of experiencing sex in the way God designed it, the good way God designed it. Let me ask this question right here. Any ways that you would encourage, how can you help somebody else fight? Like, what is like one practical thing that you can do if you have a friend that's trying to fight that you can do to help them?
Okay, yeah, I can go. So I know we talked about it earlier as well, but like technology is both a blessing and a curse. It's a curse in the sense that it's so easy to slip up and fall when it comes to lust and pornography. But there's also technology out there like Covenant Eyes where you can truly hold each other accountable. Like I know now you can, it's even been stepped up to where like say you have an accountability partner on the app. They will get a notification whenever, say your buddy has been on, been looking at things that they shouldn't. And so, it's truly, that's one way that you can come alongside somebody else is just holding each other accountable and, just looking out for each other's best interests in that way.
Great. Hey, somebody asked, what are actual ways God wants us to use sex? And so I just listed those purposes, but I would say, hey, go listen to that first message. You can find it at morewake.com. It's about God's good design for sex. It'll go really in depth into that answer. Let me ask you guys this. Can you be friends with a girl and not date them? I know that might sound like a silly question, but, it's not. So can you be friends with a girl and not date them?
Yeah. So I would say the answer for me would be yes. I think there's a lot we can learn from learning to build a relationship with a person of the opposite sex. We can learn to respect them, honor them. We can learn to build trust in between that relationship, right? But I think as this topic goes, first we want to like know God's design for marriage, for dating, right? And so yeah, I think the more, I don't know, I lost my train of thought, but,
if you have anything to add. So, I forgot the scripture reference, but it talks about treating every woman like your sister. So I just want to throw that in right here. How far is too far? All these questions, hey, your sister, you know, that's what how you should treat every girl. Love them well, right? So we use the L word, love, right? It means a ton of different things. But every person, every girl is your sister, and we should treat them.
Yeah. Yeah. Biblically, women fall into three categories in how they relate to you. They're your mom, they're your wife, or they're your sister. And, if they're not your mom and they're not your wife yet, then they're your sister and you're called to treat them as your sister in Christ or maybe the way that you care for that person will lead them to Christ. Now, that is not me saying that you should ever date somebody that is not already a Christian. You want to be what the Bible would call equally yoked. All that means is that you want your standards to be the same as the person you are dating. Hey, let me just say one more time before we close. I'll let each of these guys say one more thing. But let me just say, hey, the Bible's really clear about sex and God's purposes for it and the ways that our culture lies about it. The Bible's really clear about that. The Bible is not as clear in regards to do this, don't do this, in regards to dating. And so that's where you want to get godly people around you who can give you wisdom. All right? You want to get godly people around you who can give you solid wisdom for your good, for God's glory, and for the good of the people around you. Man, you don't want to be somebody who dates a girl and leaves them worse than you found them. Over and over. You don't want to leave a wake of destruction, a wake of heartbreak. Man, you want to be somebody that is encouraging to everybody, whether you're friends with somebody, whether you're dating somebody. You want to be a godly, encouraging man. So guys, as we close, man, is there anything that you'd like, hey, I'd love to say this one thing before we end?
In Matthew, it talks about the evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that there's life in Jesus. And so if you hear anything from us, it's not don't do this, you know, slap on the hand. It's, hey, pursue Christ, pursue the Lord. You have people in your small group. Hopefully you guys are running the same direction. And so hear us say, like, there's life in Christ. There's life there, and that's where our aim should be.
Yeah, I would also say, just like looking at the design for sex and how God has designed it, if God is perfect, then every one of his designs should be perfect. And so, like, how he has designed things is truly, like, so beautiful if you take the time and just respect of and the care of taking care of how God has designed it. It's truly, like, so rewarding to see how even relationships can benefit your life as far as marriage relationships. And so I would say just, like, no matter what it is, definitely plant your stake in the ground and stand firm on what you believe, looking and knowing that God has your best intentions in mind.
Yeah, and I think for me it would be just being reminded that, you know, Jesus is the only one that's ultimately going to satisfy us. You know, he created us, and so he knows exactly what our desires are, right? He gave us those desires, and honestly, most of the time, those desires are good. We don't listen to God's word. We don't listen to what we ought to be reminding ourselves of his promises, stuff like that. And so I think my story has been, hey, I've been looking for or not necessarily recently, but in the past, I was looking for, you know, a perfect woman, a girl to come into my life, to date, to complete me, right? And so, like, once I just find a girl and get married, like, I'll be completed, right? And so there's not someone out there that's going to complete you. These guys all have a wife now, and that's not what completes them, right? And so I think just being reminded that, you know, if we do have a hole in our heart because of sin, Jesus is the only one that can fill that God-sized hole. And so my story has been, hey, I've been trying to put dating or X, Y, and Z into that hole, and obviously it hasn't led me to complete satisfaction. And so there's freedom in trusting in Jesus and his plan and his design for you.
Yeah, let me end by just saying, hey, I want each of these guys' stories to speak to different people in here. And so for Jake is a guy who, honestly, I wish I had Jake's story. By and large, Jake's life has been marked by, hey, I'm going to trust and follow God's plan when it comes to sex. And he has very few scars because of it. And so, man, for those of you guys that, man, you don't have scars from sexual experiences or anything like that, man, continue to follow God's plan. It is good. It is good. For those of you that, man, maybe you have gone too far. Maybe somebody chose that for you. I don't know. But, man, I look at my story and Chad's story as examples of, man, nobody is too far gone from the grace of Christ offered through the cross. Man, nothing you've done is too big that Jesus' work on the cross can't redeem it. And there came a point in my life and Chad's life when we accepted that, believed that, and allowed God to change us. And man, if you are sitting here and you have gone too far, or you feel like, man, I'm without hope, man, that is not true. You have hope, and you can turn it around now and believe and accept God's grace, and man, and strive to live now to walk faithfully in the plans that he has for you in regards to sex. And then honestly, Braxton here as a single guy, man, has never experienced sex in the way that God designed it to, because he's not married. But here's the thing, Braxton is no less complete of a man than either myself, Jake, or Chad. Braxton is a godly man who knows Jesus and who walks faithfully with him. And I just want to say again what we've said every week is that, man, if you grow up and you have never had sex and you've never been married, man, that is okay. And if you have decided to faithfully follow Christ, and that is just something that he chose not to be a part of your life, that's not a silver lining, that's not a bonus, and that's not the icing on the cake. It is the goal to know Jesus. And if you have walked faithfully with him, man, you will have joy. You will have the abundant life that he promised. And so, guys, that is worth it. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. So let me pray that we'd be godly men as we go here. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the men around us that can encourage us. And God, I thank you that you give us the opportunity to experience your grace. And God, I pray that, man, again, if there's anybody in here who just feels hopeless because, man, of the scars that they have because of things that they've partaken in or that have happened to them sexually. God, I pray that you would just show them that they don't have to feel that way. Lord, I pray they would confess that to somebody. Lord, that they might find continued healing and grace in you. God, I pray that all of us would walk faithfully in the plan that you have for sex. I pray we wouldn't strive to go outside of it. We wouldn't believe the lies that culture has to tell us. God, that you would allow us to walk faithfully in it. And so, God, we ask all this knowing that it's by your grace alone, it's for your glory, and it's for our good. Amen.